Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with Web Sleuth Radio. I'm delighted that you're with us tonight. Let's get the legal goo out of the way, shall we? The opinions expressed on this show are those of the guests and the host, and I take no responsibility for them whatsoever, especially my own. Web Sleuth Radio is not the same as WebSleuth.com, which is a completely different entity. Tonight, we welcome Cheryl McCollum from the Cold Case Investigative Research Institute. We're going to discuss the George Zimmerman case, and then we'll get to Kimster and a few other things. So let's go right now to Cheryl. Cheryl, I appreciate you coming on with us. I know you're really busy. You got called into work, and you're making some time for us tonight. So thank you very much.
Absolutely. You know, I would do anything to be on your show.
You are so sweet. Okay, let's talk about George Zimmerman. We had Vinnie Politan on last week, and I think he made an excellent point. George Zimmerman is just not real bright. He thought he could get away with hiding this PayPal money from his lawyer and the court. That's really going to hurt him in his case as a whole, isn't it?
I think so. You know, I think he probably summed it up beautifully when he said he's not real bright, but that doesn't mean he's not trying to be a liar. You know, because again, you know, you have to know you're being recorded when you have a conversation at the jail, and when you start speaking in code, I just have a problem with that. And so for his wife to say there's not money, and what they're probably going to do, they're probably going to argue semantics when she says, well, we didn't have it at our disposal, and we didn't know how much it was that day. It came in so fast. They're probably going to, you know, sing and dance their way around it as much as they can. She's going to act like she didn't understand the PayPal account. They're going to say there was more than one account, and she hadn't checked that one, and she didn't know. It didn't like she could just go get the money. So I don't know. But again, the talking in code and the trying to be deceptive is not in any way going to help them.
Well, that's the problem, because if he would lie about something like that, it's just money.
Sure.
He certainly would lie to protect his life. And I think that is going to help the prosecution more. It's like a gift to the prosecution, basically, in the George Zimmerman case. We're talking with Cheryl McCollum. Cheryl is from the Cold Case Investigative Research Institute. And you see Cheryl all the time on Nancy Grace, among many other places along your cable news networks. Okay, let's talk about the scream. I was talking to a friend tonight about the scream. What is it, 14 times somebody screaming for help?
Right.
I read that, I don't know if it was retired FBI or whatever, but they did some sort of voice comparison, and they were able to eliminate George Zimmerman as the person yelling help. But there are so many people that believe it absolutely was George Zimmerman. What can you tell us about that, Cheryl? Can you clear anything up for us at all?
Well, again, we're going to see a lot more people test this before it's over with. And the prosecution and the defense are both going to use their best person. And so it's going to come down to who you're going to believe when they get on the stand. Here's the issue. You're going to have people again say that, well, when you're in trauma and you're in panic, your voice goes up several octaves, so, you know, the family and other friends can't identify the person because it doesn't sound like them. You're going to have other people like Ms. Fulton that says, I know that's my baby, but that's not scientific. It's not something the prosecution can hang their hat on. I cannot stress to you the fight that this thing is going to be, because, again, let's go back to the bond for one second. You're going to have people saying, hey, bond is not punishment. That's a non-factor here. And they don't even want to discuss it because he's not being punished.
Mm-hmm.
He clearly is not a flight risk.
Right.
He didn't flee the scene when he could have. He didn't flee the state of Florida when he legally could have left. He had 45 days. He could have gone anywhere he wanted.
There was
no legal reason to stay there. So, again, to claim that he's a flight risk or we should revoke his bond, whatever, that's not even, to me, anything we should be worried about. What we should be worried about, again, is how this thing is going to go down. And I'm telling you, it's going to be ugly. It's going to be ugly on all sides. The race factor is not going anywhere. The fact that he's so much younger than the shooter is not going anywhere. The fact that he was potentially profiled is not going anywhere. The stand-your-ground law is going to, you know, continue to be under a microscope. when the reality is people want to keep focusing on that law, Tricia.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a state in this country that says you've got to let somebody beat you to death.
No, well, that's true. Exactly.
They may call it something different, but if somebody's beating your head up against the concrete, you can stop them. And one of the ways you stop them is shooting them.
Right.
And see, again,
exactly.
Some of the facts that have come out since the last time we talked support a little bit of what Zimmerman said.
Mm-hmm.
He was shot 18 or less inches away, what Zimmerman said. He was acting like he was on drugs. Well, we now know he had THC in his system.
Mm-hmm.
And, yes, it was a very low amount, but it turned out to be true.
Right.
So a lot of these things give people pause to go, wait a minute, everything Zimmerman said has turned out. And the other thing that the prosecution has got to contend with, and I've said this before and I'm going to keep saying it, is their own police and the paramedics.
Mm-hmm.
The man was injured. They all said it.
Right.
Mm. So, okay.
There
well,
you go. What are you
going to?
What are they going to do? How will
exactly.
they handle that? How will
That's
the prosecution
what I'm
handle
she's
that?
She's basically got to stand up, and she's got to go after her own police, saying, "What the hell did y'all do for 45 days?" And they're going to say, "Look, I told you the man was injured. The paramedic said he was injured. This kid doesn't live here. He doesn't recognize him. He says, I'm going to follow him. We say, don't do that. He supposedly goes back to his truck." Now, that's something I'm interested in that I don't know the answer to. Where were Zimmerman and Martin in relation to the truck?
Mm-hmm.
Because if it was anywhere near that truck, again, that supports Zimmerman. He went back to the truck. The other fight is when the 911 operator says, we don't need you to do that.
Right.
I saw a police officer.
True.
So
that's
does he
a good
have
point.
To do what he says? Honey, it's just a fight. Everything is a fight. And it's just going to be a long, long process. And I really think that we see a different kind of environment than we did the first time we talked.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of emotions have cooled somewhat.
Yes, you're
a
right.
A lot of people are a little more, okay, let's wait on the science. Let's wait for everybody to do their job.
Because mm-hmm.
everybody has a job to do. And the police have 2 years to bring charges. You know, they don't have to hurry up and rush and make mistakes. They didn't have to arrest him when they did. They could have waited a little longer, but, you know, they felt like they had enough at that point, and that's fine. But his lawyer seems to be perfectly relaxed, too. So I think that's helped to cool everything down. And I know his mom has been to several places speaking very openly and very publicly. And I think, again, sometimes that's good and sometimes that's bad. She was recently in Atlanta, and they met at a local high school, and basically they were talking about how your sons dress and how that can hurt them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that, you know, you're talking out of both sides a little bit, because on the
right.
one hand, you're telling me you can't profile him. When the next breath, you're telling me don't let your son wear a hoodie because he looks like a thug.
Exactly.
Well,
it is talking out of
like
both sides.
Certainly, Zimmerman's going to think he looked like a bug.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that's true.
Again, we got a long, long road, honey.
We got a long, hot summer ahead of us. Cheryl, you brought up something that I have not heard anybody else bring up. We're talking with Cheryl McCollum from the Cold Case Investigative Research Institute. We're talking about the George Zimmerman trial. He is on trial for a murder of murdering Trayvon Martin in Florida. You brought up something that was just hit me. So it's so true. When we are in a state of terror, our voice changes. There was one time that I actually screamed in terror, and my voice was so high, it scared me. I was like, who? I didn't even know who that was. I didn't know who that was screaming. And I think it's the exact same thing. You know, it's how do you tell? If you're that voice, screaming help me just sends chills down me, because that whomever that is, that person is just terrified. You can feel the terror going through their bones, and it's a scary, sad sound. And that's absolutely true. So even if they have voice recognition software and they have some really sensitive stuff now that can pick out, you know, the most minute little ups and downs in a voice, it may not matter because the voice is so different. And you can't recreate it unless you get someone terrified again. That's a great point.
That Mr. Zimmerman's had a lawyer. I don't know that they've gotten a sample from him other than the media.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that they've gotten a sample family. I don't know that.
Right.
So, again, where these samples are coming from may not be the best.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's
again,
absolutely true.
You know, we've had other people, you know, that are going to throw their hat in and do some testing as well.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I've given enough death notifications. I can tell you, people make almost primal sounds, and I'm sure there's sounds they've never made before when they're
mm-hmm.
in situations like that. So whoever gets on the stand is going to really have to be beyond competent, is all I can
mm-hmm.
say.
Well, it's definitely going to come down to a battle of the experts. Don't you think George
yep.
Zimmerman has to take the stand?
Not necessarily. I think that they missed a golden opportunity before this thing was ever charged, where he could have told his side and told his side,
mm-hmm.
and he could have done it in such a way that they wouldn't want him on the stand. So it's really going to depend on how the prosecution frames their case.
Mm-hmm.
So if they just come out and say, look, he profiled this kid and he shot him for no reason, he don't need to take the stand. We
mm-hmm.
already know his story.
Right.
And we've
Good
got
point.
The police report. And we have the police officers that don't do anything for 45 days.
Mm-hmm.
And the paramedics that treat him and clean him up.
Exactly. You're exactly right.
We can pretty much ascertain 100,000 people believe him because of the money that he's raised.
Yeah. He definitely has some very, very strong supporters, very vocal and supporters with a lot of money. Well, like you said, Cheryl, it's going to be an ugly road, and I believe that it's going to be a long, hot, ugly summer with this case. I'm not looking forward to it. I wish they could come to a plea deal of some sort. Do you think, this is a tough question to ask, I'm going to ask anyway. Do you think do you think George Zimmerman really can get a fair trial? Do you
Absolutely
think the jurors
not.
Will, you don't think so?
That's not a hard question for me, absolutely not.
Really?
Uh-oh.
Okay. What
on
do you
either
think?
Side, and mm-hmm. I'll be very clear, people have already made their mind up.
Mm-hmm.
You can go into any social group in this country and ask point blank, hey, what do you think happened when that Martin and Zimmerman case? And they'll tell you, oh, he killed that kid. Or, oh, he had every right to shoot him.
Mm-hmm.
There's no gray area for people. They're on one side or the other. I haven't heard anybody, not one person say, God, I just don't know what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Most people are they've already made their mind up.
Right.
And see, again, that's why I'm begging people to wait on the science because, again, one thing that has continued to run through my head is Mr. Martin was found face down with his hands under him.
Mm-hmm.
However, he had grass all over his back. That
could
has
they have,
got to be explained to us.
Could they have rolled around?
Well, sure.
You
and
know,
then that
could,
is that's the fight that he
right.
that Zimmerman claims happened.
Right.
And again, you've got these eyewitnesses that said they saw the guy in the red jacket on the ground and the other person on top of him.
Right.
That's a lot to undo for the prosecution, to me.
It is. It's going to be.
You've got
it's
a lot
be
of
tough.
Ear witnesses, but you don't have a lot of eyewitnesses.
Mm-hmm.
So the one woman with the blonde hair, whose name I don't know, who says, "Oh, I know it was the little boy that was screaming,"
mm-hmm.
she doesn't know that.
Right.
She doesn't know that.
I think she may have sold, and boy, forgive me if I'm wrong, somebody sold their story to the Inquirer, so that may lose, you know, if it is her, I know it is a blonde
yeah.
woman that sold it, then that right
but you're
there.
You're done anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
If you didn't even look outside. So you're going to testify to something you didn't see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty weird.
You have zero, zero credibility.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, you've got, are they going to make a real circus out of it? And call the Black Panthers to the stand? Are they going to call, you know, the director, the famous director? Yeah, but they're in it. They're in it.
I just hope not. That would just make it so ugly and so unnecessarily ugly. It doesn't need to go there.
Yep.
Just stick with the science. Stick with the science.
Yep,
let the science, let the evidence tell the story, not people who weren't there that night. That's what's so frustrating. Cheryl, I know you have to go, but I want to just talk to you. I want to switch gears just a bit. We're talking with Cheryl McCollum from the Cold Case Investigative Research Institute. I love that name. It just flows out of the tongue.
Thank you.
Tell us what you're doing and what's going on with the research institute.
Well, right now we're working on several cases, but one is Effie Mae Hall, and this is a case that all your listeners can help us with tonight. Effie Hall was killed in Atlanta in 1981, and the police are having a really hard time locating ex-roommates, ex-boyfriends, classmates, anybody that knew her and may have information about her lifestyle or the killer. And it was a single gunshot wound to the chest inside her home, no forced entry, no sexual assault, nothing taken. So we do believe that she knew the killer.
Mm-hmm.
But they can go to Facebook tonight to Effie Hall Cold Case. They can like her page and repost it, just because if we can get it to enough people.
Oh, we'll get it on
somebody
Westwood.
Knows her.
Yeah, we'll get it on there.
That would be awesome. Because, again, your group can do things other groups just can't do.
Oh,
y'all
boy,
got
they
the intelligence, you've got the willpower, you know, you've got the tenacity, and that's what Effie Hall needs. And,
how do you spell the first name? How do you spell the first name?
E-F-F-I-E.
That's E as in egg, F-F, F as in Frank, F as in Frank, I-E. Okay, Effie Hall.
Correct. Uh-huh.
Okay.
And it's Effie Hall Cold Case.
Effie Hall Cold Case. I'm going to write this down right now. Effie Hall Cold Case. Kimster, can we get that on the front page?
And they'll see the Cold Case logo.
I'm sorry, what?
They'll see the Cold Case logo when they get to the right page.
Okay, great.
But her son came to us, and he was just a little fella when she was killed, and he just has really no memory of her at all, and wanted to do something now as a grown man to help, you know, solve this crime, which I thought was admirable and sad.
Oh, that is, that poor kid. He's not a kid anymore, but he's like a kid to me. So will you tell him?
Yeah, and when he talks about her, you know, he just seems like a little fella. You know what I mean?
Yes, exactly. Will you please tell him that Web Sleuth is going to get behind this and do our best to help you? And Cheryl, be sure and don't hesitate to ever call me. You have my number. I don't care if it's 2 in the morning. If you need us to do something, and I'm very serious when I say this, we are literally just waiting for somebody to ask us to help. I mean, and that's what's so great about the people on Web Sleuths, and they're from all over the world. So,
yes, absolutely. No
Cheryl,
question.
I will
well,
let you get...
Well, that's what we need tonight is Effie Hall, and I will let Michael know, and it will mean the world to him, but I do have to get back, you know, in there tonight. But I appreciate it. I appreciate it very much.
You got it. You've got our support anytime, any place. And I know, like you said, you have to get back to work. I appreciate you taking the time to talk with us. Cheryl, take care, okay? Thanks again.
All right, thank you so much. Thanks, y'all.
Kimster?
Yes, ma'am?
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. I am very, very good. I'll tell you what, can we do your hot cold case right now? I'm having some technical difficulties, and I'm going to take care of it. So why don't we do the Web Sleuth hot cold case, and then we're going to come back and do a few other things. I'm going to take care of these technical difficulties, so I'm going to turn my mic off for a moment, and then I will come back on, and we'll be ready to rock, okay?
All right. Boy, I have the floor. Watch out.
You have the floor, baby.
All right. Well, this week's hot cold case is about Johnny Herrera, who is missing from Oxnard, California, and he's been missing since October of 1971. He was last seen at a bachelor party on Cedar Street in Oxnard, California. His light blue VW Volkswagen, license ZWM775, was never recovered. Someone thought they may have seen him later at McDonald's, but this was not confirmed. Johnny was married when he disappeared, and he had a baby son. He didn't seem to be unhappy, and his family didn't have any reasons to offer as to why he would leave. Johnny is one of 7 children, and he has an identical twin brother who still lives in Oxnard. It was this same brother who reported him missing. They were very close. Johnny's wife remarried after Johnny disappeared and moved to Texas, and she has since died. There were indications that Johnny and his wife were having relationship and money problems, but we're not sure about that. Some people have also suggested that Johnny had only agreed to marry her because he had gotten her pregnant. Johnny was declared legally dead in 1978. Some reports I read said that his brother had him declared legally dead, and some said that his wife, who, like I said, is now deceased, had him declared legally dead. But anyway, you can go to the thread and chat about that with our members. They're actively sleuthing this case. Go to www.websleuths.com, and in the upper right-hand corner, you'll see a picture of Johnny and a link that you can click and go directly to his thread. And with his car also missing, I think we can find him and give Johnny the justice he deserves.
Thank you, Kimster. You're absolutely right. And like Cheryl was saying, you know, the group on Web Sleuths is absolutely amazing. And I think people feel, I don't want to use the word uncomfortable, but I think they don't feel totally comfortable coming to us and saying, hey, we need you to do something. And I'm going to talk to Cheryl off the air too and just say, look, call us. When you have stuff like this, let us know what you're doing. And, you know, let's get the word out there that we'll help with all kinds of cold cases like this one that you so eloquently told us about tonight, Kimster. Thank you so much. Okay.
Thank
now,
you.
I'm going to go back to the first of the show because Cheryl had such limited time. I cut off the first of the show, which I usually, you know, babble on because it's my show and I can babble. And then we go into the guests, but we're kind of doing it bass-ackwards tonight. So here we go. Kimster is on hand as the executive producer and our backup guest. We weren't sure if Cheryl was going to make it, so Kimster was our backup guest, and fortunately we did get Cheryl on. Although, Kimster, you are a fabulous guest, I must say.
Oh, well, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Listen, I know you ask, why won't we, as in websleuths.com, which is not the same as Web Sleuths Radio, why won't we let posters discuss suspects or people of interest unless they have been named in the mainstream media? I mean, really, think about it. It kind of defeats the whole purpose of Web Sleuths and sleuthing, doesn't it? Here's the deal. Imagine you're minding your own business when your neighborhood is attacked by a swarm of media, just like locusts raining down on you. It's discovered that your neighbor is a serial killer. You happen to be casual friends with that particular killer. Now imagine seeing your name splashed out all over the internet with everyone assuming that you too are guilty of some crime because, after all, you were friends with the killer. Imagine having everything about you sleuthed out and discussed nonstop. I mean, think about it. You wake up one morning and everything about you is out there on the internet. At Web Sleuths, we really do strive to be a great true crime forum. But we also strive to be decent, and to have high standards. It's unfair and wrong to allow discussion of people until they've been named in the mainstream media. It just is. Will this stop us from finding the real killer? I highly doubt it. If you discover something that you are so sure points to the culprit in a crime, don't post about it on Web Sleuths. Call the authorities. Now, we also can't protect everyone either. And if someone's name and information is splashed all over the media through no fault of their own, then there's nothing that Web Sleuths can do about it. And we do allow some discussion of people who have already been exposed. That doesn't mean we allow posters to accuse someone of a crime just because their name is in the media. No, we don't do that. At Web Sleuths, you have to back up what you say with some sort of hardcore facts and reasoning. You just can't pull a name out that's in the media and say, I think that person killed 20 people. We just don't allow that because it's wrong. Now, why won't we allow sleuthing of everyone and anyone? After all, everything we would post would come from public records, right? Everything we would post would come from public records. It's already out there. Well, we don't allow that because it's not the right thing to do. Just because it's a public record doesn't mean it can be posted on a big site for everybody to read. Now, I want to remind people of something. WebSleuths.com is not stopping you from discussing anything. We're only stopping you from using Web Sleuths as your discussion board. What you do off of Web Sleuths is totally your business. But I want to remind you of something. Your words, my words, our words are very, very powerful. It was 10 years ago that Elizabeth Smart was kidnapped. Now, I spoke to Angela Reese, Richard Reese's widow, about this. Richard was the handyman who worked for the Smarts, who they arrested and basically made his head explode due to the pressure from the questioning because they were sure he took Elizabeth Smart, when in fact Richard Reese did not. When in fact almost all of the evidence the police said they had against Richard Reese was made up, untrue, false. Someday I'm going to do a show about that, and you're going to be shocked at how they truly manufactured evidence against this man. It was just awful. What the media did, along with those of us, meaning me, who blogged about Reese's guilt, was to add to the circus atmosphere, which led to an innocent man being taken to prison where he died from a brain aneurysm. And in my opinion, that brain aneurysm was caused by the stress of the high-pressure tactics used to try and get Richard Reese to confess. Many of us contributed to the hysteria of the day, myself included, that surrounded Richard Reese. I still feel terrible for accusing him. I didn't even know him, but I still feel bad. I feel awful that I did that. My point is, we have a lot of power. We do. And it's all equal. We're all kind of equal on the internet. Everybody has a keyboard. Everybody can post. Everybody can type. Our keyboards are a powerful tool, and we must use our keyboards in a wise and decent manner. Now, we don't always make the right decision at Web Sleuths. We have certainly made our share of mistakes, but what we try to do is we try to do what is right and what is decent. Okay, there is the flip-flop of the show. Normally I'd go into our guests. We've already had our guests. Kimster, are you there, my darling?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay.
And that was a really, really good information that you just put,
thank
put
you.
Forth there.
It was a great intro doing an outro. Gotcha. We have
an
had
outro.
Some yes. We've had some exciting news in our unidentified forum. Tell us what's going on there, Kimster.
Well, you know, the members there just are absolutely amazing.
They are.
I mentioned this once before, but Namus, who is the nationwide or actually worldwide, I think worldwide, maybe just nationwide. But anyway, they are the new tool that came out just a few years ago. And they match up dentals, and they have a big computer, you know, that matches up dentals and mm-hmm. DNA and everything. But they list the people on there. And our unidentified group in the missing forums, if you go to the front page and you'll see missing, and then you look down through the missing area and then go to the unidentified, that's where a lot of the information comes from. It comes from actually three different places, and the Namus, and which is my personal favorite, and then the Doe Network, and I can't remember the third one off the top of my head because I don't use it very much. But anyway, you go in there and you can try to match these faces up with these unidentified. They have information like their tattoos or their, you know, information about surgery they may have had, or, you know, they do reconstruction. And sometimes, and you have to be kind of careful, and we try to label the threads about this, but sometimes we'll even have postmortem photos that we can look mm-hmm. at. So, and we try to label the thread that's because it's kind of disturbs some people sometimes. But you can go in there and try to match some of these missing people with these unidentifieds and send the people home. And mm-hmm. anyway, whenever there's somebody that's been identified, we, just like in the missing cases, when somebody has been found, we'll clock that and put it in the located area. Well, in the unidentified forum, we put it in what's called the identified forum. And if you go in there, you'll see a lot of places that'll say either resolved, which might mean that they found out it was some ancient, you know, person from,
right.
you know, from way back when, or, you know, animal bones, actually they found out with an animal or something, things like that. But, or they'll have identified where the police or somebody has identified them. But then we have the special part that says match.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime these guys, especially the regulars, our members that are regulars, and I'm not going to name their names because I won't remember all of them, and every single one of them is a hero in my mind.
Yeah.
But the regulars spend hours trying to make even one match. It's a very long process a lot of the time. Sometimes you could go in, though, don't be discouraged. You could go in as a new person and just, it's kind of like going to Vegas, have beginner's luck, too. So don't let that
keep
you from
exactly.
it. But some of them spend just many, many hours. And this last week we had a match, and they don't come very often, but we did have a match. There was somebody that the remains were found in February of 1982, Tricia.
Wow.
The remains were found in Virginia. And they, our members found a match. They figured out who it was. It was a woman named Cynthia Gastel, and her family now knows what happened to her, and she's been gone since 1982.
Oh, my gosh.
It's kind of like, you know that movie where it says, you know, when, I can't remember what the reason is, but an angel smiles when they hear a bell ring, or what's that movie? Can you tell me? It's a Christmas movie.
A Wonderful Life, is that it?
It's kind of like that. When we have a match, it's like the bells are ringing, the angels are smiling.
Yes.
Everybody in the unidentified forum is celebrating. Mm-hmm. And we also, and I'll get in a lot of trouble if I don't mention this, but also Namus used to just have, and they have missing people. They have a missing people section, and they have an unidentified section. And now they have just this, within this last year, also added an unclaimed section. Mm-hmm. And that are, those are people, they know who they are, but they couldn't find their family. And we have two or three members, I think at least three anyway, I should say. I'm not going to say two, but because I know there's three and maybe more, that actually went in and got every single unclaimed person on the new unidentified in the Namus and put them on WebSleuth. Every single person on there.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
Matches there just to start out with, and they have found these families. It's just, it's awesome because one of the family members actually wrote to WS Verify, which, as you know, I take care of a lot.
You handle,
most of that, and she wrote to WS Verify, which is where we verify our professionals and insiders, and so I called her from there and talked to her, and she was just stunned that we had found her mother. Because
really?
She didn't know that her mother had passed away somewhere and that they couldn't locate the family. So I'll tell you what, I just got all teary-ed up. It was amazing.
Wow. That is amazing.
Oh my goodness. You want to help. You just want to help. And anytime I have any free time, I'm in there. And so anyway, so go to the unidentified forum and see what I'm talking about. Go to these cold cases. They all kind of work together because, like in the case of the match I was telling you about, that was a cold case that, you know, so they kind of go together because we're finding somebody that's missing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's whole missing form and the unidentified form and everything work hand in hand. So be sure to go in, either start with the missing or start with the unidentified, but go in there. Even if you just do one person, just handle
exactly.
one person and as you have time, try to look into that case, and if you don't have time, you don't have time, or you go and you can go back later or whatever. I mean, it's well worth it. You're sending somebody home. You're giving them back their name. What
exactly.
More, I mean, and it's not just, well, they're already gone. It's their family. And they're
it means so much.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. And Kimster, I'd like to point out that this was all started by Web Sleuth members. It's not like we had this great idea and asked for volunteers. People just started doing it. And that's what was so beautiful about this, is that there are people out there that thought, I can help these families. I don't even know them, but I can help with their lives and to help find a little bit. There's never closure, but a little bit of closure. And they just went to it and jumped in it and just did it. And that's the beauty of Web Sleuth. So if you have an idea out there for something like this, bring it to Web Sleuth. You know, we are working on something right now where we are going to have a special forum set up where we will find out when violent sexual predators are coming up for parole. And then we will write mm-hmm. those parole boards and notify the media in the local area to keep those predators behind bars. It's all about the power of people coming together. And what is so great about this, it's nobody knows each other. We're just coming in and we have a goal. And that's not to gossip. That's not to sit there and nitpick. It's not to sit there and do things behind people's back and act like we're in junior high. It's to help other people who are going through a horrible, horrible time. And that's mm-hmm. why Web Sleuth, that's why we're here, and that's why we don't put up with any of this other crap that goes on. You know, if someone comes in and they start making trouble, they're gone. If, you know, they're causing trouble all over the place, they're gone. We just want to concentrate and help with the families. So if you have an idea, if you want to come and help with a cold case or an unidentified, there is so much you can do. And the beauty of it is, you don't need any money. You just need your computer, and you can sit down and you can help. And everybody
That's
matters.
Right.
That's one thing I want to stress. I know there's a lot of people out there now who are shut in and think they don't matter. They do. They matter a lot to us on Web Sleuths. We want you to come and help us and join in because you can make a difference. And that's, again, that's what I love about Web Sleuths. And, you know, I can't take credit for it. It's everybody else doing the work. Everybody else is doing the hard work. And that's what I love about this site. Well, Kimster, I think it's going to be a short show tonight. Do you have anything else you'd like to add, my dear?
Well, I was thinking about it. I did want to add one more thing. I want to toot my horn for some people around here in Oregon. Can I do that?
Yes, absolutely. You go right ahead.
It goes with the unidentified, but, you know, we always talk about the unidentified and we always talk about remains. But in the unidentified forum, we actually had, and somebody posted it and I saw it and went, oh, my goodness, I happen to have a friend that works there. But they talked about a lady in Oregon who was found, an elderly lady, and she seemed lost.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of the police, it was the Linn County Sheriff's Department, and like I said, I have a friend that works for them, and that's why I kind of got interested. But instead of the police department saying, well, she's just some deranged homeless person or something, they took her in. They found a place that would keep her for so many days till they could find her family. They cleaned mm-hmm. her up, you know, and everything and took care of her. Our members went crazy trying to figure out what was going on. The police department put up a Facebook. They kept everybody informed. My friend wasn't involved in the case. She's not a detective, but you know, I got hooked up with one of the detectives, and they were emailing me back and forth. The nicest guy in the world, totally appreciated Web Sleuths, totally, all of them.
Wonderful.
Now, it ended up that they found her family, and, you know, we weren't the ones that found the family, but mm-hmm. everybody was just rejoicing when she got to go home. And get this, Tricia, this woman was in a hospital in some kind of a place where they take care of people that, you know, are confused. That she might have had Alzheimer's.
Right.
I think they didn't say that, but I think she did.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, she was in a hospital. She had gotten out. She figured out how to buy herself a bus ticket. She
went
all across the whole country and ended up in this little town of Albany, Oregon. It was the most amazing situation.
That is amazing. That really is. That's just wow.
She didn't know her name. She didn't know. She said that she had some kind of illness. I can't remember what it was, and said her doctor's name was Dr. So-and-so. Our members actually found a hospital called that name. Like, let's say she said it was, doctor's name was Dr.
Yeah.
Jones. Yeah.
Jones
they
Hospital.
Actually found a Jones Hospital that treats people with that disease. It was amazing what our sleuth found out.
That is
and
amazing.
And I still wonder if she wasn't in that hospital when she was younger. But anyway, it was an amazing case. It was very interesting. So you guys check out what's going on in there. It's pretty exciting in there. I'll tell you what, a lot more exciting than you'd think. It's not
exactly
a bunch of dead bones. It's kind of like, you know, Bones, the TV show. It's exciting.
It can certainly be exciting. And that's a good story because it has a happy ending. And we don't get too many of those. So that's what's great about it. That's just it. When you come to websleuths.com and log in and start reading, you never know what will happen. There's one thing you and I can say, Kimster. We don't know what the day will bring with Web Sleuths. And some days are good and some days are bad and some days are in between. So, but it's all because of the wonderful posters and readers. We have a lot of readers that come in and they can also help as well. So, Kimster, thank you very much. A very short show tonight, but we appreciate Cheryl McCollum taking time out from her busy schedule of helping so many families that need her help. And once again, we're going to post up on our site on websleuths.com Effie Hall Cold Case. That's on Facebook. That's E, F as in Frank, F as in Frank, I-E. Effie Hall Cold Case. They are looking for people who knew Effie, or if you knew someone who knew Effie. I mean, they would need to find anybody and everybody who knew Effie. She was murdered in 1981. Her son is looking for his mother's killer. He really didn't know her, and he wants to do this for her. So go to Facebook and put in Effie Hall Cold Case or E Hall Cold Case, and it'll come up, and we'll put it on Web Sleuths as well, and just put it everywhere you can because somebody out there will recognize her and hopefully give the police a call. Kimster, you were wonderful tonight. Thank you very, very much. To our great and fabulous people in the chat room, thank you for being so fun and joining in. We certainly do appreciate it, and we're going to be back next week, aren't we, Kim?
Yes, we are, with bells on.
We're
going to have more of those angels in their wings and their bells. And you know, that's what it was. Somebody in the chat room just told me, when a bell rings, that means an angel got their wings.
That's right. See, I thought that when you took a shot of bourbon, an angel got its wings. So I was just drinking shots all the time. I got it all confused. Okay, guys, thank you so much. It's Web Sleuth Radio, where we discuss true crime and current events, and we always do it with common sense. Good night, everybody. Bye-bye.